Kenya D. Williamson.
The Nanny Diaries by Emma McLaughlin and Nicola Kraus. She wants to know what I study, what I plan to do in the future, what I think of private schools in Manhattan, what my parents do. I answer with as much filigree and insouciance as I can muster, trying to slightly cock my head like Snow White listening to the animals. She, in turn, is aiming for more of a Diane Sawyer pose, looking for answers which will confirm that I am not there to steal her husband, jewelry, friends, or child. In that order. Nanny fact, in every one of my interviews, references are never checked. I am white. I speak French. My parents are college educated. I have no visible piercings. And I have been to Lincoln Center in the last 2 months. I'm hired. The Women of Brewster Place by Gloria Naylor. As the late November winds cut across her legs and blew under her coat, Maggie shivered violently and realized that she had rushed from the house without any slip or stockings. She pulled her tweed coat closer to her neck to cut off the wind and stop her body from trembling with cold, and moved on toward the police precinct. The brick and glass building threw out a ghostly light against the thin morning air. She paused a moment to catch her breath before the iron lettering engraved over the door. Saying Goodbye by Linda Holman. The island feels different without my dad. When we came here for our 3 weeks every summer, just the two of us, we'd stay in the little fishing shack right down by the water, curling up in sleeping bags on musty blown-up air mattresses. Every night before we went to sleep, Dad and I would lie on our backs in the long sweet grass beside the shack and watch the sky, and he'd point out the constellations. This summer was my mom's idea. I didn't want to come, but she said it would make me feel less lonely for Dad. Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. The kiss of his memory made pictures of love and light against the wall. Here was peace. She pulled in her horizon like a great fishnet, pulled it from around the waist of the world and draped it over her shoulder. So much of life in its meshes. She called in her soul to come and see. The Lover by Marguerite Duras. The street was empty, and it was a cold night. A light rain was falling where he was driving to, but I guess we were going down all the time toward the lower city. In the end, he pulled up in a little side street, stopped the engine and got out of the car, telling me to wait inside. Murderous Muffins by Lois Larissa. Hide in the closet with me, Cat sees my hand. Both of us won't fit. I had to face this myself. Now you go, I have an idea.
Are you sure?
She whispered. I nodded. Trust me, go. Cat scrambled into the closet, quietly shutting the door behind her. Xavier entered the room. His eyes widened as he stuttered, Miss Bizou, what are you doing in here? I still wasn't sure I could pull this off. Annie Mae had often shared tidbits of acting techniques with us. I sashayed toward Xavier, doing my best sexy silver screen siren imitation, like Mae West or Jean Harlow. Why, I'm so glad that you finally made it back here. He glanced around. What are you doing in my room? Thankfully, I had everything back in order. He shouldn't notice anything out of place. I flipped my hair and lowered my eyes. You sweet, silly man. I'm trying to seduce you. I was going to fry in hell for all my deceptions. This Thing Called You by Ernest Holmes. Why, then, if these things are true, is the world still impoverished, mentally and physically ill, and apparently unable to become unified? This is the great question. Why, and why? Unless this question is adequately answered, and its meaning increasingly applied to human conduct, there is a danger that the world may destroy its vast system of misconceptions and be compelled to begin over again. Madame Bovary by Gustave Flaubert. At the sudden impact of those words, crashing into her mind like a leaden bullet into a silver dish, Emma felt herself shudder, and she raised her head, straining to understand what he had meant by them. They looked at each other in silence, almost wonderstruck, each of them, to see that the other was there, so far apart had their thoughts carried them. Charles stared at her with the clouded gaze of a drunken man, motionless in his chair. He was listening to the screams that continued to come from the hotel. Anne of Green Gables by Lucy Maud Montgomery. October was a beautiful month at Green Gables, when the birches in the hollow turned as golden as sunshine. and the maples behind the orchard were royal crimson, and the wild cherry trees along the lane put on the loveliest shades of dark red and bronzy green, while the fields sunned themselves in aftermaths. Anne reveled in the world of color about her. "Oh, Marilla," she exclaimed one Saturday morning, coming dancing in with her arms full of gorgeous boughs, "I'm so glad I live in a world where there are Octobers. It would be terrible if we just skipped from September to November, wouldn't it? Look at these maple branches. Don't they give you a thrill? Several thrills? I'm going to decorate my room with them."
"Messy things," said Marilla, whose aesthetic sense was not noticeably developed.